Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. If I were asked what my most fundamental desire in life has always been, I'd have to say it's to live in harmony, to live a quiet life where people interact reasonably with each other. I'm not talking about a utopia. I'm talking about balance. Though harmony has always been my fundamental desire, it has also been my greatest challenge. This challenge began with the chaotic family I was born into, where peace and harmony was rare and unpredictable. As a child, desperate for calm and rationality, I began a behavioral pattern of people-pleasing. I complied with others' needs and demands in order to provide myself with temporary pockets of sanity. Among the many other problems that arise from this type of behavior, one of them is loss of self. I was so busy trying to be who everyone wanted me to be, I never figured out who I was. The bar of expectation I set for myself from a young age was low, and my low self-esteem was beaten down even more with each of the many traumas I suffered over the course of 27 years. I didn't have the desire or strength to change my dysfunctional patterns. One, because I didn't know what they were. And two, I didn't think I was worth it. But the birth of my first child gave me the incentive and the strength to do it. There was no way I would let my daughter suffer the way I had. The only way that I could accomplish that was through the effort of fixing me. I took a long, hard look at myself, then slowly began untangling the twisted mass of vines that had taken root inside of me. Everyone has a unique, interesting story to tell about their life. Life is a story. The reason I decided to write about mine was that I wanted to share the many hard lessons I had learned about life in the hopes that others may recognize problematic aspects of their own selves and a healing may be sparked. And so, in July of 2008, I took on the tremendous challenge of writing my memoir. The odd thing was, I was not a writer, nor did I enjoy the art of writing. In the 2 years that it took to complete my book, from the first sentence I wrote until the day it was published, I discovered many things about myself. The first was that I had a passion for writing and actually had some talent. The second was gaining a holistic perspective of my life. Prior to that epiphany, I had viewed my life as a series of unrelated segments, like scattered puzzle pieces. There were many aha moments along the way, and the process was hugely cathartic for me and healing for my family. From the disorder of a disheveled yellow manila envelope overstuffed with random notes, letters, and memorabilia from years gone by, finally, my story of hope, love, and destiny arose. The story of finally, spanning 50 years, details my search for deeper meaning, understanding, and healing. Though the subject matter is often disturbing and heartbreaking as I navigate through a significant amount of adversity, the book is not heavy or depressing. And there is a victorious surprise ending that surprised me too that will leave the reader feeling great. I will read you the prologue. I believe that there are divine reasons for the pregnant pauses in our lives. The times when our lives seem to have come to a screeching halt and we are rendered powerless over it. These are the times we should pay especially close attention, for those junctures may be the most profound times in our lives. Though painful, those intervals when we must sit quiet and come face to face with our true selves provide tremendous opportunities for our spiritual growth. Despair is a lonely, desolate place that we've all been to at some point in our lives. While in its depths, it seems to take an immense amount of courage to reach for rose-colored glasses and put them on. It wasn't until I'd begun to gain insight into where I'd come from that I could competently determine where it was best for me to go. I could not fix what I did not understand. My awareness came by 12-step group attendance, professional therapy, and a plethora of self-help books. The healing lavished upon me is a gift from God. Out of immense gratitude, I want to pay it forward. My aspiration through the sharing of my story is to offer hope, encouragement, and enlightenment to the millions of people who currently suffer alone in their darkness, lost in a maze of confusion and despair. My message is to hold on, that a brighter day is on the horizon. For the countless people who've already lived through experiences similar to mine, my hope is that they'll glean new insights from the benefit of a different perspective. The stories that I reveal in this book are true and honest. Most of my recollections are from memory or from notes, records, and journals that I've kept over the years. At the risk of being labeled one Fruit Loop shy of a full bowl, I feel that I must also give due credit for the input that I received from the beyond. I believe, without a doubt, that much of the wisdom and some of the details from the past that had slipped my mind were imparted to me that way. Believe what you will. There were many more stories that I could have shared but chose not to because I felt that they had little or no relevance to my main objective. And it was never my goal or served my purpose to portray anyone in a bad light. Keeping that in mind, I do believe that the truth must always prevail, even though sometimes it may be hurtful. I am thankful for everyone that has touched my life. I'm especially grateful to the people who have presented the most difficult challenges for me. I consider them to have been my most valuable teachers. I have found the following theory to predominate in the majority of research that I have done on the subject of codependency. I'd like to first preface the information by emphasizing that I present the information only as a learning tool, not with the slightest intent to assign blame. According to research conducted by professionals in the field of psychology, there are common threads that have been traced back to the childhoods of many codependent women. Many of these women had been pleaser children who'd been conditioned from a young age to believe that they were only good or valuable when compliant with their parents' wishes. Often those wishes were illogical and confusing. As children, they felt unduly responsible for their parents' needs and happiness. Healthy emotional boundaries between their parents and themselves were never properly established. Often these women had suffered from depression and/or anxiety in their adolescences, conditions that continued to trouble them well into adulthood. The codependent syndrome develops over a long period of time. Those who are suffering from codependency in their adulthoods have often had erroneously difficult adolescences, but they are largely unaware of their tendencies until their condition impedes their ability to form healthy, stable, adult relationships. I'm grateful to say that although I suffered from that confusion for the first 30 years of my life, today my life doesn't resemble that portrayal in any way, but remembering where I've come from keeps me humble. It is my sincere hope that as you peruse the pages of my book, you will find my story touching, inspirational, and most importantly, an impetus for healing. I wish you serenity and an abundance of love in your life. In writing finally, I wanted so badly to give a voice to the loved ones in my life whom, for various reasons, could never speak their deepest thoughts. I wanted to salute all the unsung, sometimes tragic heroes that dramatically affected the outcome of my life. I wanted my daughter to know the story of her early years, and I wanted to expose my trials and tribulations to others with the intention of offering them hope for a brighter tomorrow. These were my intentions when I began writing the manuscript of Finally. I didn't know that there was so much more to it. As I went along with my writing, I began to discover that the words were not always my own. They often came through me as if I was channeling from another source. And as I learned to trust that source, I began asking for help in filling in the blanks. Once I was halfway through telling my story, mysterious, paranormal-like experiences started happening. It became obvious to me that I was definitely not alone in this endeavor. I suspected, and before long, came to the realization that my book was divinely inspired. Apparently, I was chosen as the vessel that would bring this project to fruition. It was hard to deny that there were greater purposes for sharing my story and perhaps even for my life experiences than I could ever fully comprehend. There had to be a plan. As I was nearing the end of the first draft of my manuscript, there was an occurrence in my life, one that can only be described as miraculous. This brought long overdue closure for me, 30 years to be exact, and the perfect timing of this miracle allowed me to add it as a surprise ending to my book. Now I had even more confirmation that this book was meant to be. On that note, I'm going to take a brief 1-minute intermission. I'll be right back. Thank you. welcome back. The first half of the show was a behind-the-scenes tour of Finally. Now I'll tell you about the story. Finally is a candid expose that allows the reader a reality show-type window into my life from childhood through adulthood, with detailed accounts of several heartbreaking and chilling events. There is also scattered humor. The reader will observe the admittedly poor judgments I make along the way, but will get to know me and understand why I keep falling into the same traps over and over. Every chapter of my book starts with a famous quote that hints at the content. The first chapter starts with a quote by David Zelzer. For some moments in life, there are no words. The title of that chapter is Keith's Death. The reader will not actually meet Keith until a third of the way into the book. Keith becomes my hopelessly drug-addicted husband, whom I find myself painfully addicted to. In my relationship with Keith, I refuse to look at what is right before my eyes. To do so would crumble my world. Many people knew Keith for his obnoxious, stumble-bum, drug addict behavior. But there were many intriguing aspects of his multifaceted character that I wanted to share. I wanted him to be remembered for so much more than his addictive illness, from which he died young and tragically. Keith was a colorful character that you will like, love, and hate at various times throughout the story. Here's an excerpt. Keith had lots of friends and many interests. Life with him was entertaining and refreshing. He enjoyed playing his favorite record albums for me. Among his large, diversified collection was every Rolling Stones album ever recorded. He knew all the words to all the songs, which he sang with the confidence, but definitely not the talent, of a virtuoso. And he did a comical impression of Mick Jagger's boastful strut. It was hard to watch his ridiculous antics without bursting into laughter. Keith did a hilarious, though not very good, impression of Elvis, too. He loved listening to Elvis Presley's music and reading books about his life. He knew the words to every song Barbra Streisand had ever recorded. He had a terrible voice, but he didn't care. He loved to sing along with her. He once showed me a box filled with his outrageous collection of platform shoes that he'd saved from the 70s. They were the types of ostentatious shoes Elton John or Mick Jagger would have worn as part of their stage costume, only Keith actually wore them as daily foot attire. The colors ranged from pink plaid to yellow patent leather, and all the platforms were 3 inches or higher. I could only imagine what he must have looked like stepping out in those monstrosities. The thought of it cracked me up. He was such a trip. That excerpt was about the happy times in our relationship. But things got steadily worse. This excerpt illuminates the beginning of Keith's downfall. When I came home from work one afternoon, I walked in the front door and found the house in shambles. My first thought was that our house had been robbed and ransacked. It appeared as if a cyclone had raged through the living room. Our potted palm tree was lying on its side with its dirt spilled out onto the carpet. A hanging picture had crashed onto the floor, glass broken and fragments perilously scattered. The empty frame from the glass-topped coffee table was on its side, leaning against the mirrored wall. Its quarter-inch thick broken glass top leaned next to it. While I was engrossed in surveying the damage, Keith stumbled in from the bedroom, his glassy eyes trying to focus and his drooping eyelids struggling to stay open. "Look at you, you're completely effed up," I cried out in disbelief. "Look what you did," I shouted through heavy sobs. "You're sickening." My impassioned words landed on deaf ears. He was too incoherent to reason with. I somberly watched as he staggered over to the sofa, plopped down, and then slumped over and passed out. I ran to my bedroom, sprawled out on the bed, and dissolved into tears. I cried until my stomach was sick and my eyes were swollen shut. Suffering alone, the pain seemed unbearable. The one person I had always counted on was now the source of my agony, and he lay bombed out and drooling on the living room sofa. My life today does not resemble my tumultuous past in any way. I have achieved the harmony in my life that I so desperately had searched for. Drama and chaos are sent away with a vengeance if they dare to ever show up at my door. My home is a safe, serene sanctuary for me, my husband, and our two children. My life is not perfect. No one's life is. But I am happier and more peaceful than I have ever been. My relationship with my wonderful husband of 26 years continues to grow stronger every day. And my children are the happy, successful people that I managed to raise against all the odds. Spirituality and faith play a huge part in my life. I was born and raised in an observant Jewish family, but the dogmatic thrust upon me only served to repel me. For many years, I had no faith. It wasn't until my life hit rock bottom that I was forced to find some source of strength outside of myself to hand my life over to. In time, I designed an absolute faith that completely resonated with me. Not only is my faith strong, I am a huge believer and advocate of the connection we have to the spiritual realm. I often write spiritually based articles on my website blog. I am immensely grateful for my healing, but my satisfaction comes from sharing it with others, paying it forward. I do this by actively writing inspirational, thought-provoking articles on my blog, Love Your Life. I also post articles on many other self-help, New Age, and inspirational blogs. This radio show, A Fine Time for Healing, is my way of reaching a large pool of listeners who may be looking for the comfort and hope that I may offer them. Finally, my story of hope, love, and destiny, the divinely inspired book that I was privileged to write, is my way of putting my healing words directly into your hands. Finally is available through Amazon.com and through my website, randygfine.com. I have so much more I want to share with you. I hope you will continue to follow me on my journey to spread hope, healing, and love to others. I encourage your comments. Please write to my email, afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. And share your thoughts and opinions, as well as ideas for future topics that you'd like me to write articles about or discuss. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, July 28th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, as I discuss the topic, Love Is as Love Does, based on my March 26, 2011 blog article. All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.